Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
This podcast was recorded on the Rodecaster Pro, the world's first fully integrated podcast production console with 4 mic channels, 8 sound pads for triggering effects and music, the ability to bring in phone and Skype calls, and powerful onboard audio processing. It's the perfect solution whether you're just getting into podcasting or you're a seasoned pro.
Hey, and welcome back to the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm not sure what that sounds like, Jim, but I really hope that you're drinking some Castle Spirits.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we have to give a shout out to Vicky over at Castle Spirits.
Vicky, okay. Vicky. Well, what's her husband's name? Come on, Robert.
I have no idea.
You only remember the women.
Just in case our listeners are whiskey drinkers, which I'm not sure if this is technically considered a whiskey.
I don't know.
I don't have the bottle nearby because we're almost done with this next bottle, so I got to crack open another one. I believe it is a neutral spirit, and then they add honey flavor to it. But it is smooth. I was going to say something really bad, but it's just really smooth. Okay, so let me come over here to my calendar real quick. I'm going to bring the microphone. So I don't know if this has been announced by them, but I got a little inside information that I want to share with our listeners. On October 21st, Castle Spirits is having an event at the distillery. I'm not sure if it's going to be public or not, but I got an invite to go to it, and I think Jim may have to go in my stead because I'll be on a trip. And if Jim can't make it, Roxy said she would.
Oh, did she?
Okay. She did.
She knows about this.
She does.
This particular thing,
yes. And I don't have any details yet, so I don't have anything to share. But as soon as we get some information from Vicky over at Castle Spirits Distillery, we'll be sure to crank it out on our social media. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, ching ching to you, big boy.
All right, here we go. Damn.
Oh, right. Yeah. We even bought glasses versus drinking out of red Solo cups.
Yeah. This is a lot better.
It is. But you know, one thing I'd like, any of the whiskey drinkers out there, can you guys send us a link to, you know, they have those cubes that don't water it down that you freeze or whatever. I've seen them like rocks. I've seen them like, you know, different kinds of cubes made out of stuff. We need something cool.
It'd be cool if we could get them made into the Photo Facts podcast logo or something, like an F.
Or just like two Fs.
Two Fs, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we have two Fs in the bottom of our whiskey glass.
Or an R and a J.
That sounds kind of cool.
So anyway.
You could stir it up and see what kind of, how many words you could make.
Yeah. Which oh, yeah. That'd be like alphabet soup.
Awesome. So we have an extremely popular, well-known, and famous photographer that will be over at PhotoCon 2020 as one of the speakers. We're going to take him off a hold. He is right there. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Hey, what's up, guys?
This is Lou Renova. I'm looking at it upside down. Renova.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nova, like a Chevy Nova.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
We're even pretty close. It's N-O-V-A, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's just like a Chevy Nova.
Renova, but he's got the R-E at the beginning.
Well, the Renova means it was a re-Chevy.
A re-Chevy. Okay.
Yeah, we've been trying to get this gentleman on the podcast for a while. He has been busy gallivanting the United States with lots of automotive projects and other stuff. But before we jump into what he does for a living, let's talk about your PhotoCon class. So it's going to be a little different this year. You know, we're going to have some live presenters as well as some videos that are being recorded. What are you going to talk about yours?
So I did one of those videos already. So I was interviewed by Mike with This Is Oklahoma. About growing your brand. So I will be in the video section of his PhotoCon segment as well.
Cool.
Mine, you know, it's really my first time ever speaking in public about photography.
Oh, really?
I'm prepared to fully crash and burn and do it again.
Hey, you know what? you definitely will not do any worse than I did. I've never been asked back since then. So seriously, I'm not joking.
we'll see how this goes for me this time.
I'm sure you'll do fine. So have you ever spoke anywhere else, like for your other life?
You know, not in a live setting, but I, with, in what I do for a living and being a kind of like a public figure in the photography world, I go like Facebook Live a lot or Instagram Live. And then I am in front of, so I work for Farm Truck and Asian, from the show, Street Outlaws and Discovery Channel. And so yeah. I run all their social media. So whenever we go live, I have to sit there and go live, and we have just on Facebook like 2.7, 2.8 million followers. So, you know, speaking live and out loud is a little different nowadays with technology, but in an actual live public setting, the closest thing I ever got was when I used to play in a band back in the day. You know, that was about it.
We'll have to talk about that for sure.
Oh, I love that. Now, hang on a second. You know, I knew Asian and Farm Truck back in the day.
Yes,
back
sir. I've heard your name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I knew them when they just barely had a million subscribers.
Yep. So I was going to ask, have you frequented the shop over there on 36th?
I don't stop there very often anymore. I usually try to stop there every morning. So my job is kind of to oversee all of that, right?
Okay.
I gather content and see what's going on that day and make small deliveries and coordinate, you know, stuff like that with the employees there. So I stop in there, you know, in the morning on my way to my studio.
So I have driven by that old fire station, if you will, probably for the last 40. Well, I did it for sure for 30 years.
Were you going to say 40 years?
I've been driven by there. I still drive by there often. It's been 40 years because I live down the street. I mean, I always take 36th Street all the way to Bethany. And so, you know, I've seen that thing. I don't remember if I saw it when it was a fire station. I know it was several things, but
in the 50s it was an actual fire station that was operational.
Okay. I got pulled over there too one night when I was wasted.
Oh dude.
Right in front of that.
We said it was thing. Okay to cuss, but not we don't confess to crimes.
Confess to crimes.
It was 40 years ago.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It was. It really was. I was driving a Plymouth Sapporo, if you know what that is. Yeah,
it was, I think
you don't even know what that is, do you?
I think the cash for clunkers knocked all those babies out.
No,
along
that car
with the Pacers
was cool.
And the Pintos.
That car was cool. It was a little sports car, two-door sports car, but it had a Mitsubishi engine in it, and I blew that thing, cracked it, and that was an ordeal. Anyway, but I can't believe I went home that night because I was I can't believe it. It was a 5-speed, and I chirped the rear tires real quick. It wasn't a bad deal. I just chirped them, and I wasn't even trying, but of course I was drunk, and that's why he pulled me over. He did a U-turn in the intersection right there, and I pulled over right in front of that.
Oh, my God. Do you have a picture of that?
Hell no.
Do you have a copy of the ticket? Because I bet you Asian and Farm Truck would love to hang that inside.
Yes,
exactly.
That would be cool.
You're thinking like I'm thinking. I would love to see that.
Oh,
that
man.
Would be totally awesome.
Shit, I was probably 19 years old, 20. I think I was 20 when I had that car.
Oh, my God.
I'm 57, so that was a long time ago.
Well, Lou, let's let you talk a little bit. Why don't you tell us how you got started in this whole thing? Now, were you a photographer before Street Outlaws, or were you just the token guy that had the camera and hey, come take my picture?
Man, a little bit of that, right? So, it started way back in the day because Asian or Jeff has been a friend of mine since I was 18 years old.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so we met at graphic design school when we went to here in Oklahoma City. We went to South Bryant Metro Tech together, and he graduated like maybe like a semester or two ahead of me. And right when I was about to leave that school, he gave me a job at the little sign shop that he was operating. So we've been working together ever since, off and on, for almost 20 years, I guess. But it just so happened that one of my best friends in life happened to get on Discovery Channel and get his TV show. So over the years, I experienced him and Farm Truck in the show and evolved to how it was. And then finally, after a few years, I first started by just helping them out, and I was selling T-shirts at events. So we would just drive to like a little town in Oklahoma and set up a little 10x10 tent and unload all the T-shirts off the back of the Farm Truck and start selling shirts. So shortly after that, it was specifically one event that kind of it was the starting point of everything as far as like me getting into photography. We were at Texas Motorplex in summer of 2016, and I was meeting them after they had already gotten there. So Asian was like, "Hey, dude, I need you to go grab my camera at my house and grab this stuff and this stuff." So I loaded it all in my car. I drove down there. And then my usual duties with them were to sling T-shirts, you know, talk to people, kind of like a fireworks stand.
Right,
you know,
right,
you're talking
right.
to people, you're selling T-shirts, you're slinging cotton, you know, and making friends. And but this time he was like, "Hey, I need you to grab that camera and take some pictures." And I'm like, I have no idea how to use this thing. Like, I've never held a DSLR in my life. So, ever since that day, I just walked around all day, took pictures of them. We took pictures of some race cars, and it was pretty embarrassing how I was trying to operate this camera that was an alien artifact.
Wow.
The very first day. Ever since then, I kind of got obsessed with learning the camera, and I already knew how to edit because, you know, I've had by then like 15 years of Photoshop experience.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was just learning how to take photos and finding the balance and what I see and capturing the moments after that. But that was when it first got started. And ever since then, that's just it's a rare day passes that I don't pick up a camera nowadays.
Wow, that's cool.
So now, of course, I think the images, when I look at your images, I can see that they're very creative. But I'm imagining that since you were involved in this world before photography, it's not like you said, "Hey, I'm going to go start shooting race cars." You were already involved in that arena, so you already had an idea of timing and what was happening. So you could always put yourself in the right place at the right time.
You know that, I haven't really thought about it in that way, but in a way, yeah. I grew up street racing in Oklahoma City, right? That was what we would do on Friday and Saturday nights. We'd head out and cruise our cars and then find street races afterwards or during or whatever.
Was that on 39th?
On 39th,
yeah.
On Saturday nights. And then we'd go to 12th Street down in Moore,
yeah.
On Fridays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we'd hit Thunder Valley every once in a while and catch some races. But that was kind of my life when I was a teenager, getting into adulthood there.
That's cool. That's...
But then after that, I had kids early on, so I kind of separated myself from that whole culture and didn't really start getting back into it until, I mean, about, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when I started kind of selling T-shirts for them and, you know, paying more attention again.
Well, that's all. I got to ask, because now before I had a chance to shoot Asian Farm Truck, which just happened to come through 616 Studio that I do some work with Chad.
Chad's awesome.
I love Chad. You know, I used to watch the show on TV all the time, and there's one thing that really used to piss me off, okay? And I'm sure you get a lot of people bitching out there, so I'm just going to join the bitch wagon. To me, if you're a street racer, your car needs to be street legal. And Farm Truck was the only one on the top 10 that was street legal. Everybody else took their shit in. They didn't have any license plates on or anything.
They're on trailers.
They're on trailers.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting here thinking, if you're a street racer, then it needs to be street legal. That's me.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I got, and I hear this all the time, you're right. But what I tell people all the time, which is what I'm.
Yeah, give us the official or non-official. I don't care.
No, this is the official thing. This is they're not street legal cars that are race. They're street raced cars. Right. So
if
you want to bring your you know, rocket car and try to run down the street and make a pass, good luck, buddy. You know,
That makes more sense.
It's all about bringing as much power as you can to the street, but the street is the equalizer. The street will, if you got put too much power down, you'll blow the tires off and you'll just burn out the whole way. And the next guy and the guy next to you will just stick the tires down and make a good lick. And then you lose. So that's kind of what it's been. It's always just been street raced cars, not necessarily street cars that race.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for clearing it up. Now I'm not pissed anymore. But I was like, well, because, you know, you see like Mons out there and I'm like, dude, like that is nowhere. Like you cannot go to DMV and say, "Hey, I need to put a license plate on this." Because they're going to say, "Fuck no." Okay.
Well, so, in Oklahoma, you know, we're a little loose around here.
Well, there's no lie about that. So I had a wedding last weekend, and the gentleman that was there, Brandon, and you may know him. I mean, because you would probably have to know this kid. Okay. His last name is Samford, and he's got a 68 Camaro that he just...
Oh, okay. We kind of texted about that a little bit.
Yeah, we did. So he's got he's got a big freaking, like, turbo hanging on, like the exhaust comes right by his
and it's like
mirror.
What 6 or 8 inches in diameter? It's
yeah, dude,
crazy big.
It is gigantic. And I'm like, well, what is this thing putting out? And he's like, oh, I'm putting out, like, you know, 1600 horses. I'm like, bullshit, that's just not possible. So he pulls off the little ticket for the Thunder Valley, whatever it was, and he pulled a 152 and a quarter mile, and I'm like, 152? And he said, well, that's why I have to have the drag chute.
Yep.
And I'm
that's
like,
exactly right.
Dude, like, I want to pop that thing while you're going down the street on the turnpike. How badass is that? If someone starts tailgating you, you just hit your parachute.
Yeah.
Boom.
You know, I want to be on a Scissor Tail Bridge as that car goes right under
the
thing.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Oh, yeah.
Capture that right there.
No, hang on a second. Now, wait a minute. Now, Lou, that's a pretty good idea.
He's being serious. That face, I can see he's thinking.
Oh, no. I don't say shit and fuck around. I mean it.
Now, listen, we should do an event with Asian and Farm Truck, because that's a pretty nice little straightaway right there.
Don't have any cars fast enough with parachutes on it now.
That's okay. I mean, if you could break 100 miles an hour, it's still illegal.
We'll get Brandon after he fixes it.
Yeah, after he fixes it.
What did he blow?
The transmission.
Yeah, and have him pop the chutes while he's going under a Scissor Tail Park.
God, that would be so kick-ass with some lights. Oh, my God. We could have all the photographers lined up.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be a perfect glow. And imagine how many sirens will be from all the state troopers chasing us.
Yeah.
Then the pictures after that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be freaking awesome.
You know, that could be my first Bedford, what is it? Like?
Slide. Photo walk. That'd be a photo walk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You know, we have a photo walk on the 15th, which is that Thursday. You're going to come out to that, right?
Man, I haven't been to one, but I've been wanting to go.
Well, this is right before PhotoCon. Right,
this is right before PhotoCon, okay. So it's Thursday night.
Okay.
I
think Thursday I'm going to head up to Aloft or whatever. I think that's where it's at, right?
Yeah, yes.
To
Aloft.
I hope that's where it's at, because that's where I'm going on Thursday.
Yeah.
but I need to go up there and, like, test my, just make sure everything can be plugged in and yada yada.
Dude, so, that's gonna be awesome. Yeah, so we're gonna do it Thursday night. It'll be late. I need to get work on the schedule, because we're gonna have, well, when this was supposed to kick off in March, I had a girl skater and a Hispanic team, and then we're gonna take a couple of the models, and I'm gonna do the Wall of Fire. You don't want to miss that.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Where at?
So the Wall of Fire will probably be the last photo shoot sessions. It'll be about 9 o'clock at night, and it'll be right there by the Aloft, where the dog park is.
Well, I might just come out of the Aloft and then go try and find you guys that day.
Oh, that'll be easy. Yeah. You can't miss the loudmouth.
Yeah, just listen for Robert.
Yeah, look for two guys that look like
Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
That's Jim and I. I'm the short, fat guy. He's the tall, skinny guy.
Yeah.
So you're not going to miss it at all. I'll be the loudest one out there.
So I have to go on a little tangent here. I want to go back up a little bit. When you said you were a graphic designer or graphic artist, whatever. So where did you work when you did that?
So right after I left the school, I worked for Asian in the small business that we had called Custom Vinyl. I did that for, I don't know, off and on for like 5 years. And then right around like 23, I got a job at a local sign company.
Oh, okay.
And then I started there. I just needed a job at that point. I'd injured my back, and I had been out of work for several months, almost a year. And then, so this was the first time I was job hunting after my injury. And I started working there, and I ended up working there for 9 years.
Wow.
Where they didn't even need a graphic designer when I started there. But over time, I ended up being the lead designer there. And I quit there in 2016, I believe. So I was there for 9 years.
That's cool. I just asked because I thought you might have worked at this place that we used for our graphics. Chad actually was my supervisor for a few years.
That was at Teleflora.
At AFS, American Floral Services. But I'm saying... We used to use a service provider. It did all of our printing and all kinds of stuff. But
right, so I want to know about that poster. Like, I believe you shot that, Robert.
Yes, yeah. You
know, the SEMA poster. The first poster that we would sell, I think really the first poster that Bumper really never had. And it's them, like, kind of in the sunset.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah, we shot that out by the prison on Route 66.
And I'm actually behind the truck.
He's behind the truck.
I set up one of the flashes.
Oh,
so.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was funny as shit. So Chad calls me and was like, hey, you ever heard of, like, Street Outlaws? I'm like, yeah, I watch that shit every weekend. He's like, what about Asian Farm Truck? I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. I love those guys. They're the only ones with a street legal vehicle.
Oh.
And he says, how would you like to shoot them? I'm like, hell yes. Oh my God, let me get a piece of this. So we met in the studio, and I can't remember what it was, but I was just, I'm a pretty high maintenance kind of guy. And of course, they like did all kinds of antics. I couldn't believe he brought like a stack of like $100 bills, and they were like throwing it up in the air, taking photos. I'm like, holy shit, I love these guys.
Yeah, they don't make my job easy because they're easy to capture.
I'm trying to remember why I was even there.
Well,
he was there for the money, apparently.
No, not me. I didn't.
You were there because
he wanted me to get detail shots, I think.
I wanted behind to get the scenes. Behind the scenes shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, some BTS, all right.
Yeah.
Got to have some BTS. Come on, dude. This is like famous people. I want to get famous by proxy.
And that was right out in front
that's my career right there in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Famous by proxy. That's going to be my autobiography.
All right. That's the title of the show, baby.
We were right on the right outside of the, right next to the El Reno prison. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what... So we were talking.
The prisoners were actually watching us. They were like loving the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole idea was Chad came up with the idea to make this poster, to make it to be able to do what we wanted to do. We were going to composite the poster in different shots. So we did all the shots of Jeff and I can't remember
Asian.
No, yeah, Jeff is Asian.
Asian and Farm Truck. Yeah.
Yeah, Asian and Farm Truck. We did them, and was it Lucy was the dog at the time?
Louise, she
passed away shortly after that shoot, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Jeff actually had a migraine that day. He was just sleeping in the truck as much as he could.
Oh, yeah, the day we did that.
Yeah.
So we shot them all in the studio, got plenty of shots with them. They're using nitrous bottles as a bazooka, just all kinds of stuff. And then we're like, okay, well, let's shoot the truck by itself on a highway, but we need to have some good backlight because I really love a good backlight. And he says, well, we go do test shots out here by the... by Route 66, by the prison. And I'm thinking, shit, dude, we're going to get arrested. And he says, no. No one ever fucks with you. So I went out there a couple of days before, checked it. I mean, the sun was coming smack dab right down. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So we went out there and, you know, we positioned ourselves in a place where if we saw headlights coming above the hill, we had 4 seconds to get out of the road.
Yeah.
Okay, and Jeff's like, dude, that's plenty of time to get out of the road. We're good to go.
Yeah.
So we put the truck off the side, and he would bring it across the two lanes. I would drop my stands, and I would shoot, and then Jim would grab a flash because I was afraid we were going to forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go behind the truck and squat down and light it so we'd have some backlight underneath the truck.
Yeah.
And then we shot that thing, and then Chad did all the compositing work, and he's like, man, we're going to be selling this at SEMA. I'm like, SEMA.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the? Yeah, what the hell
he
is
composited an Asian, like, jumping like 6 foot in the air.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was.
Yeah.
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 There was a poster that we sold that thing forever.
There was a wall, like, mural size vinyl of that in the 616 studio. I don't know if he still has it, but.
Yeah, he does. He still.
It wasn't there last time. I did Chad's show not too long ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You're the recent update.
But he's. He's done a lot to that place recently.
Yeah, so. Well, this was way back at the one over on Fifth Street.
Yeah, we had one on Fifth Street before downtown, and we had to move when everybody started like getting all uppity and
building houses. Yeah,
yeah, building all those houses down there off of Fifth Street.
Fifth Street, yeah.
So we moved over to Mork. It was less expensive and got more space. But yeah, you should hit up Chad and find that poster. I bet you he has it rolled up somewhere.
Oh, we still have some sitting at the firehouse somewhere, I'm sure.
Oh, no, so, no. He has the vinyl, and this thing was every bit of 6 foot long.
Oh, it's...
If not eight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's... No, understood. I think it's... Yeah, it's got to be like eight.
I'll definitely hit him up then. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. It was huge. I mean, it was the entire wall of the office at the other location. It had to be... I'm pretty sure it was 8 foot wide. It was a big vinyl.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was real proud of that moment. That was our highlight for... Oh, I guess that was the highlight period.
Well, shit.
Awesome. So what kind of car do you drive? What I mean, because you can't go run around in some Pinto or some shit with these guys, right? What do you got?
I do, man. I'm boring as shit. I need something to get me where I'm going all the time, because everyone that knows race cars also knows that besides being fast, they're unreliable.
Yeah, so, always working on them.
I drive a Honda Accord, man.
It's that's
where I need to go.
Wow, that's cool.
Okay, so I want to know, so with all this marketing stuff you're doing for them, obviously you've done some pretty good marketing for yourself, because you're 405 photo.
Right.
And I think I see everybody copying you.
Yeah.
Because I've ran across 405 pics, 405 images, 405 video, 405 blah, 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 blah. I mean, we're running out of freaking shit we can put in front of the 405 to make it a photography-related thing.
If by chance you're a listener and you are one of those, it's okay. We still love you.
We still love you. But the chances are they're not listening.
We're totally fine with it also. So we're all,
yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your marketing. I mean, because this kind of but you still have to deliver the goods. Otherwise, you don't get rehired.
Well, yes. I mean, how can I word this? How it started wasn't even I never planned to do any of what I'm doing now.
Right.
So what it was is I was gathering content for them to market Farm Trick and Asian. Well, Asian being the entrepreneur and visionary that he is, he was like, hey, like, you should really start. These photos are good. Even though you don't think they are, he's like, and you should start watermarking them and starting an Instagram page. And I'm like, I don't know, bro. And after like 2 or 3 weeks of me like beating myself up on I wasn't good enough to do it, I just finally said, screw it, and started doing it. And ever since then, they have helped me grow. Like we joked about earlier, you know, like I don't like using the word famous, but, you know, successful by proxy is a little more comfortable for me to say. but just working for them allowing me to build my brand next to theirs all along the way for the last 4 years has been a big part of my success. But like you just said, this opportunity is very rare. And yes, if it were happen to someone, it could happen to anybody. But if they are not prepared and to be obsessed about what they're doing, and like you said, deliver the goods, you will not make it. Because this this business in the entertainment business moves so fast that if you are not prepared to move as fast as it is, you will fail given the opportunity. So the opportunity is one thing, but the preparation is the other, right? And that's kind of what my talk at PhotoCon is going to be about. It's going to be about beginning with an obsession, leading into preparation, and then execution, right? You can't have the other two without the obsession first. But yeah, so that's kind of where my brand started, was alongside of theirs.
Well, that's awesome.
So if you're listening, his Instagram is Lou405Photo. I had to actually look a little bit for that, because there's so many 405s out there.
And you know, that's one thing that I've had a realization about.
Sorry.
Who is that?
That would be... two of four dogs at Robert's house.
Oh, that's so awesome.
They're all female, too.
Yeah, so I was a womanizer when I was a young man, and God has got a sense of humor. So I have four daughters and four female dogs and a wife. So, yeah, I don't have anything.
I'm right there along with you, man. I've got two daughters, a girlfriend, and a female dog.
See? Yeah. You know what I'm saying. We swim.
What's even worse is an ex-wife. So we'll see about
that. Oh, well, yeah. Talking about ex-wives, I got you beat because I'm married now and I got five exes.
he's being serious. He's not lying.
Oh, yeah, I brag about it. When people, I introduce my wife, Tara, I go like, hey, this is wife number six. And they look at me like, what? That's a good icebreaker.
Yeah. And his funny, famous line is, or one of them is, they all said yes.
Yeah, they all. It's not my fault. They said yes. It's their fault. They're the one that chose me.
Yeah.
It takes two to tango. You know?
Well, it's a proven fact that women like to fix things. See, people think it's men. It's actually women. Because they'll look at me and go, oh, you've been married four times. I can fix you. Oh, <man. laughs> So basically I'm like a hot rod. I'm a street outlaw. I run smooth for a short couple of runs, and then it's like, he's broke down, I'm leaving him. Oh my god, that is crazy stuff. All right, so now that you are an influencer in the racing and automotive industry, and actually we've seen a lot of photos that you've taken of firearms.
Oh, that's something new. Yeah.
Cool.
I just want to know what can our listeners learn from you? Like, what did you wish you knew before you went down this path?
I wish I knew a lot.
That was deep. That was really deep.
Yeah, I wish I knew a whole lot. Man, that's a deep question. Let me think about that for a minute.
Okay, you think about that for a little bit.
You know, I guess that can bring me back to a conversation I had recently with a friend of mine. He's very new to the industry, in the same kind of field that I am, and he is in a place where he can capture a lot of moments that are very special and they'll be gone forever. And what I told him, I was like, hey, do not, you are in a place, because I started this way, right? I was immediately thrown into a situation that was completely amazing, right? I was in a situation where every photographer that I talked to said, oh, I wish I could do that. And it took me a little while to understand what that meant, of how rare the opportunity I had in front of me really, really was. But now a friend of mine's there, and my piece of advice to him was to shoot every time he's out there, like if it's his first time and everything's amazing, right? Don't get complacent. Like, just everything that is happening is amazing, because once it's not in front of you anymore, once it's gone, it's forever gone, right? We only have the memory left. And if you don't capture those memories in photos, then there's no more, that's it, right? There's nothing else. So, I wish that over time, when I started, that I wish I hadn't lost some of that initial energy of this is you know how it is, right? You're doing something new and exciting, and then all of a sudden you kind of get used to the new and exciting all the time, and it becomes normal. Well, I thrive in that new and exciting moment, so I try to carry that everywhere I go. Which, you know, sometimes you lose that over time, and. I'm trying to remind him to not lose that, because it's so rare to have that and to be grateful of that moment all the time.
Yeah, that actually is really good advice. You know, we shoot a lot of weddings, and if I hear the chicken dance one more time, I'm going to scream. You know, and then I have to tell myself that it's their first chicken dance,
yes,
not mine.
Yes, yeah.
And so I have to treat this with the same enthusiasm that they are, you know. Yeah. I've shot, I don't know how many I do's, how many proposals, how many ring exchanges, how many first dances, and it's like, oh, that's old hat, it's just the first dance, but it's their first dance.
Yes. you know what too, yeah, about that is that if you have built a relationship with that couple and you have spent some time with them or whatever,
right.
You're just not just as excited, but you are excited for them because you know them and you consider them a friend, you know? And so that's why one of the many reasons that while Robert's talking, that's one of the many reasons you want to build a relationship with your client, so that you can get excited about those things.
Yes.
You know,
right. I'm sure you're
passion,
very,
you know,
very,
you know, it's like if somebody sells a house in one day, I'm excited for them because I was in on that, you know. I was part of that team.
When you get to know the human, You know, because it is work, right? It is another wedding, another chicken dance, another I do. But when you get to know the human, you get to experience their experience, and it's exciting. It's you're capturing precious moments in life.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that whiskey went down the wrong damn way. Shit, made me tear up a little bit.
Are you sure it was
damn.
The whiskey and not your vape pen?
No. It's not the vape pen. Because we'd be talking about strap-ons. And we're talking about parachutes, baby, parachutes. All right, well, so that was some really good information. I love that. So let's talk about this project with the guns, because I like guns. Okay. And cars go together with whiskey.
Gosh.
I used to do, and I'm starting to do it again, but several years ago, I got into competition pistol shooting.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I kind of became obsessed with that. This was before the camera and the current career I have kind of came along. I was just doing that and practicing and competing on a state and regional kind of level. And
he's a badass.
I kind of let it go a little bit, you know, because 6 years ago I started selling t-shirts, and 4 years ago I picked up a camera and do what I do now. So just recently I kind of gone through a kind of a life altering moment and time, and I'm in a place now where I can kind of just kind of hang out and do what I want to do, and I start picking up the gun again and shooting. Well, this time around, I have a previous passion getting in with a current passion, which is photography. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting to explore how guns look like behind the lens. You know, I'm just posting the stuff and taking pictures of it and having fun while I'm out there practicing and trying to get better at shooting again. Right. So,
so have you shot a lot of, have you shot ever experimented with, I guess you could say product photography, that type of photography, like shooting your guns is kind of like a product photography.
A little bit. So okay. I never really did product photography until I started diving into running the Farm Truck and Asian website, which is OKCFarmTruck.com. And then I do all the content for it. So okay. if we have some new sunglasses, I grab the sunglasses, take product photos, write the copy for the description, and then coordinate with our, what would they call it? Like our merch team. Mm-hmm. Shipping team on how to make the listing, and then we create a listing on our website for it. So I've had to learn how to take product photos now, which in a way has translated into, like you said, and I've never really thought about it that way. It is very similar to taking product photos, mm-hmm. and taking like a gun sitting there. You know, sometimes you can take a picture of a gun in action, but you know, I like sitting there and playing with the light and seeing the different angles I can capture one in.
Yeah, because you got all those different. The way the light hits the gun, the shiny parts, and then you've got the textures, and oh man, that's pretty
very,
cool.
Very photogenic.
Yeah, yeah. So did you? What was I going to say? Oh, forgot. Robert told me to carry on.
Well, I was carrying on because I was actually looking up just the social media to put on the show notes, and I was going to say it's kind of funny that he shoots pistols and pixels.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So throw that baby in your t-shirt gallery for the staff photographer.
Yeah, I think I made a post on Instagram recently. Like, make sure you, I posted a meme, and it's like, when you get asked to shoot someone and they don't clarify if it's a 135 millimeter or not.
Yeah.
You know, so,
when my son was like five, I told him I was going to go shoot a house. I would say that, and he heard that a few times. I'm going to shoot a house. And he goes, "Oh, is it going to blow up when you shoot it?"
And what did you say?
I laughed and said, "No, I'm."
Oh God, I sure as hell would gone down that route. Like, absolutely.
Yeah, it's gonna. I think I have to other people. Yeah, it's gonna blow up and it's gonna, you know, make a lot of noise and.
Don't they have that app where you can blow things up? It's like a Hollywood FX app.
Yes, I had that years ago and I scared my mom to death. I shot the picture the some video of my living room. And I couldn't believe she knew this was that she didn't know this was fake, but it was a picture of some a video of looked like the ceiling or no it was one of those round balls, one of those wrecking balls.
Yeah,
and it fell through the ceiling and landed in my living room floor, And she, I put it on Facebook, and she's like, "What is going on over there?" You know, I post stuff all the time, and she gets confused. But anyway, I love her. I love to
death. Okay, so when are you going to start teaching workshops and sending people out there on the pimp juice circuit?
Oh man, that's actually an idea that I had a little while ago, but that's longer term goals. My first goal was to kind of what I've done for the last 4 years has kind of kept me away from really the community of photography. So what I've been trying to do this last year is to try and follow more local photographers and pay attention to the local scene and get involved with Bedford's and get involved with PhotoCon and reach out to companies like Holdfast Gear that make amazing camera straps. And, you know, just trying to really connect with the community that I haven't really had a chance to, because everything else has just been flying, and I've been barely able to keep up with that. But now I'm to the point where I can do that more. So one of the ideas I had later is to start teaching kind of the niche would be drag racing photography, like how I do what I do exactly.
You know, yeah, because I'm sure you could just walk down the Thunder Valley and go down the sidelines and hand out your cards and have a class full of people in no time.
You know, probably so. You know, and a lot of the local photographers that are there, I've made it a point. A Farm Trick and Asian have mentored me for a long time on how to do business. And besides them being jokers and street racers, the one thing that people don't really realize about them is that they're highly intelligent businessmen. So I've learned from them how to do business for myself. So one thing I always do when I'm out of the track or at any event, I go around and I meet everyone, I shake their hands, I'm like, hey, I introduce myself, this is who I am, who are you, and hey, if you need anything, here's my card. Or I've had people that I've just let use my gear. I'm like, hey kid, you just started doing photography, you're using a kit lens, how about you try the 70-200 and just go play around with it.
Yeah,
you know, and he's out there shooting for the first time ever. So I really tried to connect with the local community here of photographers and kind of all around with the drag racing photography world.
Man, that's crazy. You know, we need to set up a photo walk here soon and bring out some of these cars for people to shoot.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be a good way to kind of get me
I think going that'd be excellent.
How to do a workshop on it later. You know,
absolutely. I'm going to talk to Eric as soon as I get off this. I'm going to send him a text. I'm like, hey, let's set this baby up. Because, yeah, you know, the Bedford's locally has the third Thursday photo walk.
Right.
And, you know, they're always looking for some good ideas, models. And, well, hey, you could be it.
Well, I could definitely try to organize something. You know, I'm always thinking, what can I do with one thing that can be spread out over a lot of different brands? And, man, I would love to do a workshop for Bedford's, work that side of it, involve the local community, and then gather a bunch of content for the Pimp Juice. You know, for people that don't know, Patrick and Asian also have another brand called Pimp Juice Traction, which is a traction compound that you put on the street. You do a burnout on it, you back up on your tracks, and you then you race on top of the tracks that you made from that burnout. So it's a company called Pimp Juice Traction, and I also run the marketing for it. But we always need more content, so we can get pictures of the race cars using the juice while people are learning how to do, you know, how to capture high speed photography and the art behind it that I've learned so far. That would be, we would get a lot done with one photo walk like that.
Oh my God. Cool. Yes, we did. So what we need to do is, so who's running the top slot right now on the top 10?
Oh, you know, things are way different right now.
Is it?
Yeah. As far as I know, I think Fireball Camaro had the first one, but those guys are unattainable as far as trying to gather them for a photo walk or anything like that. You know,
oh, man.
We would need to just to get it done. We would need someone that's not tied to other engagements that are more important. Right. So if we were to reach out to Fireball, they've got Discovery Channel to worry about. So
gotcha.
There are other guys that Pimp Juice Traction sponsors.
Perfect.
That we would be able to say, hey, come make some test passes at Thunder Valley, or let us know when you're doing it, and then we can go out there and meet them for that.
I think that's a good idea. So let's schedule a photo walk for downtown, and we're going to do a little clickbait. We're going to say Farm Truck and Asian will drag anybody that shows up.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to drag them behind the truck.
No. No, yeah. And then what we'll do is we'll use the pimp juice to get traction on one of those lime scooters.
We can make that happen. I got some pimp juice in my house right now.
Oh, God, that's funny.
You know, if this had been any other time in American history, those words would have got us arrested by the FCC.
Yeah.
I got some pimp juice in my house right now waiting on you, buddy. Well, Lou, listen, we've had a great episode. We really appreciate you spending some time with us. And we can't wait to spend some time with you at PhotoCon.
Yeah.
So, I'm still not even done writing that thing. I'm so nervous about speaking in public, but I think it's just going to be a really good learning experience to kind of put myself out there to be uncomfortable and learn from it. And hopefully I don't do shitty enough that I don't get invited again, like you.
No, you mean like Jim, not Robert.
Next year and torture myself some more again.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You're going to do fine. You don't wear contacts by chance, do you?
I don't.
Okay. Well, you know, they always say, picture your audience naked.
Right.
That doesn't work for me because, you know, I'm looking for my next ex-wife in that audience.
Oh, God.
But, you know, I do wear contacts. So a lot of times, my first couple of times, I would take my contacts out. So everything was blurry. I couldn't see anybody.
Okay. That helps, I bet.
Yeah. I've never wanted to do that too. Take my glasses off so that I can't see their expressions. Because sometimes their expressions freak me out. Like when I've done it other places, not at PhotoCon. But like I'll be looking out into the crowd and I see a face and I'm like, their expression, they're like troubled looking or something. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? What's going on?
I know.
And I get
know.
Distracted. And so
you get anyway. Distracted. And all they had was gas.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
They just had gas. All right. Yeah. Can you tell the listeners how they can find you on the website, Instagram, Facebook, etc.?
Oh, man, for sure. I've got 405photo.com where I post all my event photography portfolios on there. I'm on Facebook. Just look for 405photo. And on Instagram, I'm Lou405photo. But yeah, just stop on in. I reply to every message that comes in, and I love talking to people. So hopefully you can stick around and see the cool car photos I post, and now I guess gun photos also.
Yeah,
absolutely. I love that. Well, Lou, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. We'll get all these show notes posted on the podcast, and that'll go out tonight, and we'll send you a link as soon as it's ready.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll share it up.
Perfect. Cool.
All right.
Take us out, Jim.
All right. Well, don't forget, go to 405photo.com, and there's some really cool photos about it's called gonorail. I'm gonna have to ask him about that offline.
What? Gonorail?
Gonorail. It's from the state fair monorail.
I thought you were trying to say gonorrhea, and you were asking about gonorrhea.
It says FNA gonorrhea.
Catch this one.
Yeah. All right. So yeah. Thanks a lot. Come back next time when we have another episode. That we talk about.
Got to get better at our sign offs. Come back again when we have another episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't do them very often.
Well, we try and do it every week.
We try to, but sometimes that doesn't happen. Okay. I screwed that up. So let's go.
All right. Good deal. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. This is Jim and Rob. We're going to get ready to sign off and check photoconokc.com for the upcoming Oklahoma City PhotoCon in your neighborhood.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube PhotoFax channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.